Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch, all the way over there. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I are licensed medical professionals, psychologists or psychiatrists, so please do not make any changes or alterations to any treatments or medications that you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like, leave the rest. While you're leaving stuff, you could leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, a review, get in touch, drop us a message, say hello. Hello, hello.
Well, hello, Nicole. It's always nice to see you, dear. And today, we are going to be talking about something I don't think that we have talked about before, and that is the ability for us and the need for us to have fairly highly adaptive observation skills.
Yeah, an important skill for a hypnotherapist. I would argue for a therapist, you know, full stop.
I would argue for a human being, full stop.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. But there's definitely a lot in what we do that. But say okay, so there's different forms of observation, right? As I'm talking again, it's not just visual observation. There's loads of ways of observing somebody, which could be tonality of their voice, speed, pace, things like that. There's all sorts of ways of observing somebody. It's not just literally through what you see.
Correct. You can observe. I observe people's energy. I experience people's energy. You know, experience is part of observation. Mm-hmm. And when somebody walks in and the mood of the room totally changes, that's something we need to be aware of. That's something that we need to be paying attention to, because that's number one, that's a strong energy. And if someone's got that strong of an energy and they're showing up to do some change work, boy, I want to point that out to them so they can use it to their benefit. Mm. Right? Because I mean, you know, and this is where I think some people miss out on the observation piece sometimes, because being able to recognize that amount of power that someone has going in the inappropriate direction, being able to demonstrate to them or to point out to them how we can redirect it towards where they want it to go, not only is it empowering, but it's something that they can actually, it's tangible. Because they know what the other experience has been like. And so when they think that they are going to be able now to, or when they believe they're going to be able now to have that energy subconsciously redirected in a positive manner, it's exciting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I think it's important that we need to be able to pay attention to these things and recognize every opportunity that we have in our work to direct people towards the outcome they're looking for. And so it's important for us to be able to recognize all of that stuff. And we do that through observation.
Mm. Yeah. Scott Jansen talks about, you know, spotting unconscious moments, which could be kind of micro expressions or little, you know, kind of like those tiny muscles in your face that kind of move, or it could, you know, those kind of, I guess, they're not imperceptible, are they? But you do need to look out for these things. Also shifts in body language, shifts in breathing, you know, if they start breathing faster, slower, if their eyes, you know, flicker, if, you know, kind of the corner of their mouth kind of drops or goes up slightly or things like that. All of those kind of little micro movements, muscle movements, which may not be so micro, they may be more kind of obvious. And
I like the ones where the whole leg will jump.
Right. Yeah. Or that even that big kind of like sigh, you know, that big release. I've had a lot of questions recently, just out of coincidence, I guess, about people yawning a lot in session. Right. Yeah. And a couple of students asking me about that, about, oh no, but I had somebody that was yawning and I was terrified that they were bored and this, that, and the other. And it's just a release. It's just a way of them releasing stuff that you're working on. I had a friend that when she used to do Reiki, she was a Reiki practitioner, she used to burp the whole way through as a release. which is delightful. But as I say to my students, you know, rather them yawn than be sitting there farting through the session. I mean, if you're on Zoom, it's fine. But if you're in the same room, but you can't, there's people react in different ways. People's bodies respond in different ways. They release in different ways. And it's, I think it's all part of the process, and you just have to kind of embrace that and not judge it. And I think that's what some people, these students were doing. They were kind of judging it as, oh, that's a reflection on me that this session is boring. Nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with being bored. It's actually what you would, you know, and as an energy practitioner and actually as one of the people who, when I'm running energy, my eyes water and I yawn. Yawn, and people look at me and I look freaking weird. And so I don't do it in public anymore. Being able to watch your client and see where they are at in that process, and actually help them through it so they feel comfortable with it as well. So they don't think that there's something wrong or off with them. We need to be supportive of that as well. And that is, again, it's all part of that ability to watch what is happening around us and to maintain an energy, a sacred space, a healing space, a safe space for people to have the experiences like that.
And understand that people's reactions are not about you. That's their way of, you know, that's their body, their mind's way of processing whatever it is that it's processing, or letting go of whatever it needs to let go of.
Right.
So, yeah. And it's so important to be connected to your client in that way. I know that some ways of working require you to kind of create a recording for a client. And I always say that the most powerful recording you'll ever make is the one with the client sitting in front of you. Because a lot of people want to go away and re-record it, create a different one that they send to their client later on, and this, that, and the other. And these are supposed to be kind of bespoke recordings. Yeah. But you go away, if you disconnect from your client and then go away and record a bespoke recording, you're no longer in front of the client. Everything that's just come up in the session is no longer fresh for you. You know, you're not getting that instant feedback from the client. So if I see a tear rolling down somebody's face, or, you know, they have a sigh or a change in breathing or something like that, or their body shifts or whatever it is, I'm like, that they need more of that, or that's a particular point for them. So I'm getting this instant feedback as I'm delivering certain things to them, but also in the session, right? You're getting instant feedback from the client that they're kind of expressing, oh yeah, that's an important point, or what's happened there. Or maybe that if they're trying to kind of evade something and you see a change in their expression or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, okay, let's go there. What's happened there, right? So it can be, they're definitely sort of clues to lead you down a path as the practitioner to ask certain questions, to nudge, to poke. What's happening over there that you're not maybe wanting or to look at?
Right. And I mean, even like I said, well, I mean, even when we're doing specific work with things where we have to observe, like ideomotor work, you know, I mean, even being able to be hyper, I am going to say hyper vigilant in watching, particularly when we're doing that kind of work, because the movements can be so subtle, so small, and you know, it's amazing. I know that I've worked with some folks that the more comfortable the part, we'll say, becomes, and the more rapport I have with the part we're working with, the stronger the signals get, right? The more empowered and the easier it becomes to observe, you know, what it is are these changes actually taking place? Am I seeing that durational search? Am I recognizing those points where there's a pause and that those new connections being made?
Well, with ideomotor work, obviously you need to be looking at, and look, in control, you work specifically with the fingers, but ideomotor responses can come from any part of the body. It could be a foot, it could be, you know, eyes twitching or something like that. It doesn't necessarily have to just be coming from the hand.
Right.
That's visible. And also when you're working on Zoom, sometimes you can't see somebody's entire body. Yep. So in that sense, it's funny, I often get asked if working online is any less effective, let's say. And it's not. It makes it less effective at all. But in terms of observation, your observation is certainly limited. But I also think that in a way, that's helpful because you're so zoomed into to a certain part of somebody's, you know, their head, their shoulders, their body. You can also, you know, guide people to position themselves in a way that you can see their hands or whatever it is. But I think you're so focused and so zoomed in on that there's almost less distraction around as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that I have discovered, and I discovered this with a client here recently. We didn't get a lot of IMRs from her fingers, but the rest of her body is one freaking Mexican jumping bean.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting and being, and of course, you know, this is why it's important for us to be able to pay attention to this stuff, because had she been an online client, I don't know how well I would have been able to work with her, because it was, you know, I mean, the muscles in her elbow, I mean, her biceps, right? Her biceps were jerking whenever I would ask for a yes. Her bicep on her right arm would jerk. And I was just like, I want to see the fingers move. I kept trying to get it down to the fingers. And I finally was just like, all right, I'm like, is that movement there that I'm seeing, is that a yes? And then the bicep just started jerking. And I was like, well, then let me see what a no would be. And her freaking left foot bumped.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, I was just like, I'm just going to go with this for a moment and just kind of see. And we got great results.
Right.
But I'm like, all right, if that works, that works. I you know, she got what she wanted.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, who am I to dictate to her body that it has to be her fingers that are moving?
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, you give freedom to people to express things. It's like when we talk about visualization, isn't it? You give, rather than giving somebody a specific thing to visualize, which doesn't work for everyone and can create resistance with people, imagine whatever you need to imagine for that to happen, or, you know, create whatever you need to create for that to take place. And so when you give that freedom to people, okay, give me something, something, whatever that is, it doesn't matter what that is, but just give me something. You're giving them the freedom to say, okay, well, this is what I want to give you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because not everybody, as we know, responds in the same way.
And correct. I've gotten to start to think, well, why don't I allow the eyes to answer? You know, because we use vocal sometimes, right? Instead of IMRs and that sort of thing. But, you know, again, anything that we can observe where we're getting, you know, some sort of a reply, so to speak, that's what's important.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Again, you don't need to be able to see the client, right? You could do hypnosis over the phone. I'm so sure there must be blind hypnosis practitioners, you know, out there that can't see the client and can't see how they're responding, but are so tuned in to other senses, whether that's energy or tonality, the voice, and so tuned into that they can pick up on the smallest shift in voice. And that's, you know, that is an unconscious moment in itself.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, yeah. And especially with, you know, I think we'll try to find somebody who fits that description and maybe have them on the show.
Yeah, because there must be, there cannot not be.
I can't imagine.
yeah. So, you know, and that's the thing, where we're blessed with all of our senses, let's say, we're not as finely tuned, are we? Because we take them for granted. We take for granted that we can see, which is usually our most dominant sense, right? We take for granted that we can hear everything around us. We take for granted that, you know, what all of those different senses, we take them for granted. But when you're when you don't have one of the access to one of those senses, you become so much more highly tuned in other senses to, in a sense, in a way to make up for it, right? So you notice these nuances that the majority of people don't notice.
Right.
I was reading somewhere, was it in Lost Connections? I can't remember, about a scientist that was doing a study with a tribe somewhere about colors. And there were certain colors that they didn't have words for, and yet they had loads of words for blue because, or green, because they recognized so many different nuances for blue or green, or whatever it is, way more nuances than we notice, because we just don't, you know, we don't have that, the vocabulary even for that amount of shades of green.
Right. Well, I mean, think about the kind of that would make sense because of the types of birds probably that they've got there and everything else that are, you know, so deeply colored like that, that yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I, you know, we're so overstimulated in this developed, so-called developed world that we're in, that we, you know, we're so overstimulated that we struggle to observe and to focus and pay attention to details, you know, because we're constantly seeing colors and moving images and all sorts. And I'm not surprised that so many people have, you know, attention deficit and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
We've been trained out of being able to concentrate and focus on things with the amount of overstimulation that we're constantly pumped with.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, so we live on the top floor of our building, and it's not like it's a skyscraper or anything. It's only like five stories, but we can look down. There's a little empty area next to us, and there's rabbits down there, little wild bunnies. And I love to watch the bunnies. And in fact, I'm really terrible and I feed the bunnies. and I was sitting out there the other day, and I'm standing there, and Mike walks up, my housemate, and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I see you standing at this window all the time." And I'm like, "Well, look at him." And he can't even see the bunnies, right? Because I really, you know, I mean, I grew up hunting and all that kind of stuff, and grew up in the trees, and I recognize even the slightest little movements and stuff like that, right? And so I'm watching, you know, five or six rabbits down there, and he can't even find one of them. I'm like, "They're right there, Mike. They're right there." And finally a crow kind of flies down by him, and they disperse a little bit. "Oh, there they are." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." But this is how people are. People, I mean, look at even when people are driving in a vehicle, how unobservant they are. They just, you know, they that's how they get into crashes, right? And people get locked in their little worlds, and they're locked in their space, and they don't observe most of the things that are happening around them.
Right. Right. And that's it. When you're working with a client, me anyway, when I'm working with a client, I'm 100% focused on that client. I haven't, like, if I'm working on Zoom, everything else is closed. My phone is off or away, on silent, whatever, you know, everything else is closed. All the doors are closed, and I'm fully focused on that client sitting in front of me, you know, eyes locked on the screen. I've got my notes as well. I'll let them know, look, if my gaze shifts slightly, it's just because I'm taking some notes or whatever that is. But that's it. I had a client come to me, and we'd actually worked together previously. And then she came back to me about a year later, and she said, "You know what? I've gone and I've tried to work with some other therapists." And she said one of them was sat there on Zoom eating a sandwich and drinking a cup of tea while we were in session. And she was like, she wasn't even looking at me. She was more concentrating on her lunch and just going, And she said, "I just couldn't believe it."
God, that reminds me of a person where I worked at a facility here. I was renting a room, and I observed him several times walking into client sessions with lunch bags. But he also had several complaints because he would fall asleep during sessions. And I was just like, "Oh my God, this is a mental health professional falling asleep during a client session."
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, how do you talk about ruining someone's confidence or self-esteem? You go to the therapist and even they fall asleep on your ass. I mean, you're not getting much help there.
Right. Right. Anyway. But it was really, it's really shocking when she told me that. I was like, I can't imagine ever. Okay. I might have a cup of tea with me and I'm just kind of drinking water or tea while I'm in a session, but I'm not sitting there munching away on a packet of crisps or a sandwich or hang on a second, you keep talking and I'm just preparing my salad. I'll be back in a second.
Right. Exactly.
I've seen trainers do it as well. You know, I've seen trainers on videos where they're working with a client and they're looking at their watch. They're looking in a different direction and they're just like, yeah, uh-huh. And they keep looking at their watches. And I'm like, you know, you're being filmed and that this is being then put out to the public or on a course that people are paying for. And you're sitting there looking at your watch. It's so rude. And it would, the only message it sends is that you're bored.
And that's interesting because even with me, there are times, particularly when I'm on this, because I can't get eye to eye with you, right? And so if I can't look you directly in the eye, because I mean, right now I'm looking at you in the eye, but it doesn't look like I am because we're on Zoom, right? And so it looks like I'm disconnected from you. And so is what I have found myself doing, and I'm really working on trying to change this, but I have found myself not looking at anything. Because I'm thinking about what it is that I'm talking about. I'm involved, right? I'm 100% there. But because I can go into myself, because you're not in the room with me, it puts me all. It's interesting. I've noticed that I need to start. I try to start to focus more on the.
No,
on the
I wouldn't. The thing is, I can see you now looking at the screen and looking at me, and I feel more connected to you now than if you were kind of falsely looking. No, that looks ridiculous, and it feels weird. So. If I feel more connected and that you're paying more attention to me when you're looking at that screen where I'm at, rather than you kind of, you know, forcefully trying to look into a camera that's off to the other direction for you.
Well, I think I'm going to get one of those groovy little cameras that you stick on your screen. They're called the iCams. And you, wherever your little face is, I stick it right there. And then
right, but the point is, anyway. it's about the connection to the client, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the more connected, the more you're paying attention to them, the more connection you're creating with them, the safer the space you're creating for them, and the more you're able to respond to them in the moment, respond to their reactions, or pick up on those kind of, you know, those little clues that are taking you, you know, the little breadcrumbs that are taking you to the magical palace or whatever, you know. So, that's it from me. I think, you know, it's all about connection with the client. The more connected you are, the more connected they feel, the safer they feel, and the better you're going to be at your job.
Well, yeah. And you help create all of that through paying attention, through being there with your client and through observing what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's clues in everything, in every part of your client. Even as detailed as their pupils, right? Pupils dilating, kind of their skin changing color or changing temperature, things like that. That's all, you know, kind of subconscious responses, subconscious
the
messaging.
Of the neck. When the neck and the décolletage change color, you know, you can see all of that.
Exactly. And if you're not looking at your client, you're sitting there looking at your watch or eating a sandwich or, you know, busy, I don't know, even taking notes to the point that you're not looking or paying attention to your client. You know, that's another big one, taking notes and wanting to write down loads of stuff or following scripts and things like that. It's all good for you to have scripts, but you need to be connected to the client sitting in front of you as well and not, you know, kind of leaning on the script to the point that you're not even looking at the client.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know about how I feel about scripts. So,
look, there's nothing wrong with people
using
scripts.
If you've got someone in a deep state of trance or in trance and their eyes are closed, the only thing that I really press when it comes to someone who's using a script is make sure that you've read it previously. You know what the inflections are. You know where you're supposed to be drawing out these important parts because there are some people who just read flat.
Yeah.
And reading flat doesn't make changes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. There's my observation.
That's your observation.
And on that note, sweetheart, we will talk to you again next week. And I appreciate today's conversation. Thank you very much.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.